Ezekiel 21. Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, and drop your word toward the sanctuaries, and prophesy against the land of Israel. So Ezekiel is in captivity in Babylon, and yet he's asked to make a prophecy against Jerusalem. Now, the first group of captives who were taken included Ezekiel, but actually Zedekiah had been set up by the Babylonians as kind of their puppet king, and he ruled for some years on their behalf. And yet God is warning them that Jerusalem is going to be judged unless they repent. Behold, I am against you, and will draw forth my sword out of its sheath, and will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. Now, it's quite possible that righteous people suffer in the judgments that come upon wicked people. That doesn't mean that they will not be saved. It means that sin has consequences. And one of the consequences of sin is that you can damage innocent people. We see that all the time. Wicked people damage innocent people. And God doesn't sort of dive in and stop it happening. That is what sin is. It is damaging the innocent. And so these people who were sinning were leading to a situation when the righteous would also die by the sword, even though ultimately that is of no eternal meaning, because those righteous will be resurrected when Jesus returns and given eternal life. Therefore, my sword will go forth out of its sheath against all flesh, from the south to the north, and all flesh shall know that I, Yahweh, have drawn forth my sword out of its sheath. Sigh, therefore, you son of man, with the breaking of your thighs, and with bitterness you will sigh before their eyes. And when they tell you, why are you sighing? That you shall say, because of the news, for it's coming. So Ezekiel was not just informing people. He was not just passing on information. He really had a heart that bled, just like Jeremiah did, and he sighed and wept because of this, because he knew it was going to come. Every heart shall melt, all hands shall be feeble, every spirit shall faint, all knees will be weak as water. It is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord Yahweh. Now he has to keep saying that, because so many times God had said, right, that's it, this is it, judgment's coming. But because of his love, he had delayed it or called it off. But he's saying, look, eventually judgment does have to come, and it will come. Thus says Yahweh, a sword, it is sharpened and polished. So God was preparing the sword of the Babylonians. It is sharpened that it may make a slaughter, polished that it may be as lightning. Shall we then laugh? The rod of my son condemns every tree. In other words, Ezekiel was saying this and they just laughed it off. Judgment to come, ha ha ha. They were just busy getting on with their lives. And just the same as how unspiritual people will respond to us when you talk about judgment coming for sin. Cry and wail, son of man. This is more than just, do you know what, judgment is coming, but cry and wail, have a heart that bleeds for these people. For it is on my people, it is coming on all the princes of Israel. They are delivered over to the sword with my people. Strike therefore on your thigh. I am putting my people to the test, and if they refuse to repent, all these things will happen to them, says the Lord. Again and again, we see how God really wanted to pull out of this. He did not want this to come, even though he'd prepared the sword of Babylon to come and destroy them. He says, if they repent, these things won't happen, but if they refuse to repent, it will happen. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and strike your hands together, and let the sword be doubled the third time, the sword of the deadly wounded, the sword of the great slaughter which surrounds them. So Jerusalem was surrounded by the Babylonians, and the sword was about to fall upon them. And yet, even at that last minute, at 11:59, they could have repented, and it would not have come. I have set the threatening sword against all their gates, that their hearts may tremble and their ruins be multiplied. Gather yourselves together. Go to the right, set yourselves in array. Go to the left, wherever your face is set. I will also strike my hands together, and I will cause my wrath to rest. I, Yahweh, have spoken it. Also, you son of man, appoint two ways that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. They both shall come forth out of one land. Mark out a place, mark it out at the head of the way to the city. You shall appoint a way for the sword to come to Rabbah of the Ammonites and to Judah and Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way at the head of the two ways to use fortune-telling. He shook the arrows back and forth and consulted the images and looked in the liver. In his right hand was the forecast for Jerusalem to lift up the battle cry. It shall seem to them as a false forecast in their opinion. They have sworn solemn oaths, but he brings their guilt to remembrance that they may be caught. So there was the king of Babylon on his military campaign thinking, right, so shall I go and attack Rabbah of the Ammonites or Judah in Jerusalem? And whatever decision he made through consulting his magic and all that, not that those things have any power in themselves, but God worked through that. Therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have made your wickedness to be remembered, in that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doings your sins appear, you shall be taken away. You, deadly wounded wicked one, the prince of Israel, whose day is come in the time of the iniquity of the end. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, remove the mitre, take off the crown. This shall be no more the same. Exalt what is low and abase what is high. I will overturn it. This also shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. The idea is that Zedekiah, like all the kings of Israel and Judah, were reigning on God's behalf. God was their true king, and in that sense, the kingdom of Judah had been the kingdom of God. But God is saying that, no, judgment has come. If you don't repent, well, the king of Babylon is going to turn and attack you, and I'm behind all that, even though he consults his magic and looks in the liver to see whether he should attack Rabbah first or then Jerusalem. I'll work through all that. And if you're not going to repent, this is what's going to happen. The crown will be removed. The royal family are going to be deposed. The line of David, of kings in the line of David, is going to come to an end. The crown will be removed, and I'm going to overturn it until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. So then the kingdom of Israel, which was the kingdom of God, was going to be overturned until there would come another prince in the line of David who would restore it after it's been overturned three times. Well, that person is the Lord Jesus. And the kingdom of God on earth will be a re-establishment of the kingdom of God as it once was. Now we've got a prophecy about Ammon. Well, remember we just read that there was King Nebuchadnezzar thinking, shall I attack Rabbah first or Jerusalem first? And God was behind his decision. But God was also involved in his attacking Rabbah of the children of Ammon. So, thus says the Lord about Ammon. A sword is drawn for the slaughter, it is polished. This is again the sword of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. While they see for you false visions, while they forecast lies to you, to lay you on the necks of the wicked who are deadly wounded, whose day has come in the time of the iniquity of the end, cause it to return into its sheath. In the place where you were created, in the land of your birth, will I judge you. And it says, cause the sword to go back into its sheath. I take that as meaning that God is saying to Ammon, look, Nebuchadnezzar is thinking to come against you with his sword, but you can make that sword to go back into its sheath if you repent. So God, as so often in the Old Testament, he does actually want Gentile people to repent. But they didn't. So, I will pour out my indignation on you. I will blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and I will deliver you into the hand of cruel men, skillful to destroy. You shall be for fuel to the fire.